Okay, so we're talking about diodes, and diodes actually appear in lots of different kinds of devices. They're used in photodetectors and solar cells, and a photodetector is like a little solar cell. You just detect the ambient light with it. They're used for lighting in light-emitting diodes, and the most common kind of laser is a laser diode, where you use a diode to generate the light in a laser, and this is used in a lot of instruments. So it's used in a CD player or a DVD player or an AFM at the supermarket when they're checking out your food. It's used to measure distances accurately. So lasers really have a lot of different applications. Sometimes in electrical circuits, diodes are also used just to make kind of a one-way street for electrons. They allow flow in one direction, but not in the other direction. And this can be either for signals or to protect your, say, telephone. All the inputs on a telephone or a computer have surge protection. And these are diodes that are there so that they protect the circuits inside the computer or telephone from voltage pulses. And just walking across the room, you can pick up 10,000 volts. And then you touch your phone, and there's surge protection that's guiding this spark away to ground instead of blowing up the circuitry. On the top right, I have a drawing of a typical diode. So in this case, the wafer is P-type. You see here at the bottom it says P-type, and in the P-type wafer, an N-type well was deposited. And the end of the N-type well is not drawn, but there's a depletion layer that goes completely around this N-type well, and that's acting as electrical isolation of this diode from any other transistor or diode on the same wafer. So if you didn't do that, if you just connect to the wafer, you can make a diode, but you can only make one on the wafer, which is not so interesting in some cases. So typically, first there's a well that's put in this case an N-well, and this is a metal contact to the N-well. And then inside that well, another well is made, and here's a contact to a P-type well, and this is the P-N junction that would be used in the diode. The diodes have this characteristic that they allow current to flow pretty easily in one direction, but little current flows in the other direction. And what's happening is that you have this P region here, and there are lots of holes in the P region. So they try to diffuse towards N, and that makes the P region negatively charged. The positive holes move away, makes the P region negatively charged, and the net N region positively charged. And going the other way, there are these electrons with a high concentration in N diffusing towards P. And the negatively charged electrons leave, making N positively charged and P negatively charged. And an electric field is established that pushes the holes back to P, and it pushes the electrons back to N. And then if you apply an electric field, so you apply an external voltage out here, so that you push the holes into the P-type contact and push the electrons into the N-type contact, then this depletion width at the P-N junction gets smaller. The region which is depleted of electrons will get smaller for forward bias, and a bias applied in this direction opposes this built-in field. So there's at zero bias, there's a field that's pushing the electrons and holes back. Electrons back to N and holes back to P. And then you apply a voltage which makes this field smaller. And then the diffusion current starts to win over the drift current, the drift current that was pushing them. Those two currents are balanced at zero voltage, but in forward bias, the diffusion current is the dominant current. And why diffusion grows is that you've got some concentration of P on the on the P side, and it drops pretty sharply. And then there's this axis is X, as you come to this depletion width, and this is the concentration of N, doesn't have to be the same, and it drops at the other end of the depletion width, and this should be about zero. Maybe I should have drawn the axis up here, like that. And you forward bias it and make this depletion width smaller, and what happens is that dP dx gets larger. So you're from here where you've got a large concentration to over here, the distance gets smaller and the diffusion current gets larger. The diffusion current depends on the gradient of the concentration. So you get a larger diffusion current, and when you go through the whole calculation, the diffusion current looks like this. It's an exponential function at V equals zero, V is the bias voltage, then E to the zero is one, one minus one is zero, so you get zero current and zero voltage. And as you forward bias it, then the depletion width gets smaller. The electrons and holes are both moving towards the junction. The electrons fall in the holes. When they do that, they either emit photons or phonons. It depends mostly on whether it's a direct bandgap semiconductor or an indirect bandgap semiconductor. But they move towards each other and they recombine. And you get this exponential growth of current with voltage. Eventually, the exponential growth stops. So you've got here voltage, and this is current. It starts out growing exponentially, and then at high voltages, it goes over to a linear behavior. And that's because the diode is always in series somehow with the resistance of the semiconducting regions on both sides. So a P-type semiconductor has a resistance, and an N-type semiconductor has a resistance. So just the fact that there's P-type and N-type semiconductors on both sides of this depletion width puts these two resistors in series. So at high voltages, you see the resistance, the series resistance, and at low voltage, you see this exponential form. If you reverse bias a PN junction, then the reverse bias pulls the holes away from the junction, and it pulls the electrons also away from the junction, and it makes the depletion area wider. So these are the mobile negative charges on the N side, these are mobile positive charges on the P side, and a reverse bias pulls them like this, and it increases the electric field here in between. This cuts off the diffusion current. So the diffusion current becomes small, and there's a remaining drift current, which when you do the calculation, it's pretty constant in reverse bias. So you get a small current in reverse bias and a large current in forward bias. This reverse bias current, when you do the calculation, turns out to be temperature dependent. So diodes are also used as thermometers. Okay. So any type of integrated circuit, the first thing you know how to make is a diode in these integrated circuits. And you can use them as photodetectors and thermometers and all kinds of different things. So a diode is a pretty common device in integrated circuits. They're also used as variable capacitors. So the something that's a conductor and then an insulator and a conductor again that looks like a parallel plate capacitor. And you can apply a DC voltage to a diode and change the width of the insulating region and make out of that a variable capacitor. So in a radio or something like that, the radio has a variable capacitor in it so that you can choose the radio station you want to listen to. And this this variable capacitor in modern electronics is almost always a diode, the diode that's reverse biased. Okay, so these diodes are pretty versatile.